Good morning, Vineyard Community Church. Thank you for gathering with us today digitally on your phones, tablets, computers, maybe even gaming consoles. Who knows? So we're blessed to have you here this morning, though. Let's open up with some worship. Thought it was the end, but it's just begun. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, not for what I've done. Jesus, you, my Jesus, my strength, fortress, my hope and purpose, you are been restored. I've been restored to the love of God. Thought it was the end, but it's just begun. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, not for what I've done or for what I've not. I love, I love, I love, I love.
Well, good morning. We're so glad that you could join us here this morning. And I just want to come right out and say, this is weird. Every Sunday, I'm sitting in front of a camera, but I'm talking to our church. And the phrase that I do not like to say is, this is our new normal. But what about Jesus is normal, right? Jesus didn't do things in a normal fashion. He was always finding different ways to present the gospel. I mean, he walked on water. That's not normal. He fed 5,000 people out of just a little bit of food. That isn't normal. He was crucified, buried in a tomb, and rose from the dead. Not normal. So listen, this might not seem normal either, but it is our normal for right now. And so what I want to do is I just want to welcome everybody here. And if you are new here, please let us know in the comments section. Even send us a message if you want. When we meet here at the church, we have what we call a guest info card. And if you fill that out, we will send you some information from the church. And also, there's a list of ministries on that guest info card that if you check, Vineyard Community Church will donate on your behalf $25 to that ministry. So we would like to continue to do that. If you are new here and you consider yourself a guest to Vineyard Community Church, let us know in the comments section. Even give us a message. Say, hey, I'm new. I watched your service for the first time. I would like some information about your church. We will send you that information. We're more than happy to send that to you. Amen? So welcome to church today. And today, before I get started, I also want to go over our Easter offering. Church, you are a blessing. You donated last week for our Easter service a total of $31,555. Give yourself a high five for that. That is awesome. Our children throughout the year, they give their offering throughout the year. They raised $200. So here's how the breakdown looks right now. For the Brazil water filters, $10,922 came in. That's 52 water filters. 52 families are changed. Lives will be changed. Haiti, feeding the children, $10,397. 57 children will eat for 1 year because of you. And then the Vietnam wheelchairs, $10,236. That's 218 wheelchairs. 218 lives in Vietnam and Cambodia will be changed because of you. So thank you. On behalf of myself and Vineyard Community Church, thank you for that offering. And also, just in case you weren't here last week or this is something that intrigues you, we've got information on our Facebook page and our website, vineyard05.com. That gives you information about these missions. We are still accepting donations for this. So at the end of this service today, we will have that information up. If you'd like to donate to that, We have what we call like one more round in case you weren't here last Sunday. You can still give to these missions, and then that'll be it for the year. But you can go to vineyard05.com. If you go click on the Give tab, you can designate. You'll see where it says Easter Brazil, Easter Haiti, Easter Vietnam. You can give to any one of those. You can mail in a check, just write in the memo section where you want it to go to. But again, at the end of this service today, we will have all that information for you. So please, if you want to be a blessing to those around the world who could use it, by all means, help us be a blessing to those. Amen. So again, thank you, church. $31,555. That's a big deal to me, and I know it's a bigger deal to the people on the receiving end of this. So today is the day that we dedicate to the story of creation. And over the years, we've discussed so many things on Creation Sunday. This is what we call Creation Sunday. We've discussed things like where did the dinosaurs come from? Where did Cain get his wife? Where did the different races of people come from? The theory of evolution versus the story of creation. And so many other interesting facets that come with the creation story. What we're going to look at today comes directly from the Bible, which I find to be correct in all areas of world history, science, archaeology, spiritually. The Bible has all the answers for your finances, your health, your relationships, your marriage, how to raise a family, how to treat your children, how to respect your parents. The Bible has all the answers we need. All we have to do is believe in it. It's that simple. So today, what I thought we would do is, I thought we could look at the times that God's supernatural presence broke into the natural world here on earth, and how that supernatural presence is a plan, plays a role of God's plan of redemption for mankind. Because I find this fascinating. I find that when God's supernatural presence breaks into our natural world, He's the creator. And here He is breaking into the world to reveal Himself to mankind. So we're going to look at a few people in the Bible where this took place. And here's the thing, church. Christianity, just like all religions, has a history. It is based on real events. It is based on real people. And it is based on a real God who loves mankind and everything in the world. Not only that, but by its own admission, the whole story of mankind's redemption falls apart if Jesus did not rise from the dead. There was a letter written to the church in Corinth. It's called Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what the Bible says. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and our faith is empty. If everything that I preach about Jesus, if He didn't raise from the dead, everything that I have to say about Jesus means nothing and it is in vain. We believe He rose from the dead. We celebrated that last Sunday for Easter. The Bible says, listen, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, none of this is worth anything. So all throughout history, God is present with His redemption plan for mankind and how everything comes to fruition by Him speaking it into existence. The beginning of history, the beginning of it all, starts in the book of Genesis chapter 1 with the creation of the world and everything in it. Everything that we see, taste, touch, feel, everything around us was spoken into existence by God. And this is a fascinating story. While all of this has taken place, we don't know exactly when, but while all of the story of creation in the book of Genesis was taking place, there was a battle in heaven taking place at the same time. There was an angel who went by the name of Lucifer, who God created. Lucifer was the highest of all the angels. He was the most beautiful of them all. His name Lucifer means light bearer. Also, he was the chief musician. He was the worship leader in heaven. Well, Lucifer got it in him that he could do better than God. And he got a third of the angels to follow him in this plan. I don't know exactly how it took place. I don't know exactly what the deal was that Lucifer had, if he was planning to overthrow God, if he was planning to become the ruler of heaven and everything else. I'm not too sure. All I know is there was a rebellion that took place. And God said, not today, Satan. That's what you get when you have teenage kids in the house, right? So God said, this isn't going to happen. And he has created everything in earth, everything on the earth, the animals, the trees, the waters, the oceans, the galaxies, everything. The way I see this taking place, this is Chip's version of this, is he said, you know what, Lucifer, if you can do so much better, have at it. I've created an earth. I've created everything in there. Have at it. Go see how good you can do down there. So it's called the fall of Satan. Satan was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels, who we now refer to as demons. A third of them. I'm thinking millions. Okay. In the Gospel of John chapter 8, Jesus refers to this world as being Satan's kingdom. So he has rule and reign on this earth right now. That is why it is so chaotic here. That is why there is death, disease, destruction, chaos, bad things happen, because Satan, Lucifer, who is now called Satan, his sole mission is to destroy everything that God created. And if he can get people to follow him, if he can get people to listen to him, his job is done. So anyways, that's just a little snippet of what's taking place. And that is why God has a plan of redemption for mankind. Because God created a man, Adam. And then from Adam, he created a woman, Eve. God created man so that he could dwell with them and spend time with them. And God would actually hang out with Adam and Eve in the garden. It was called the Garden of Eden. It was a beautiful place. Perfect in all of its ways. Until one day, Satan, disguised as the serpent, deceived Adam and Eve into doing the very thing that God told them not to do. God said, listen, you can have access to everything here in the garden except that one tree. Do not eat the fruit of that tree. Well, that is the fruit that Satan deceived them into eating. And once Adam and Eve realized that they had brought sin and rebellion into the world, they hid from God when he came to hang out with them. You know, I wonder, what did it feel like for them once they took a bite out of that fruit? They brought rebellion, they brought sin into the world. You know, it wasn't God saying, listen, you can have all of this that I'm going to give you, Adam and Eve, but I don't want you touching that. It wasn't God wanting to have rule and power over them. It was a trust issue. Listen, guys, I'm going to give you the best that there is to have, but I just want you to trust me. Don't eat from that tree. It was a trust issue, and the trust was broken. But listen to this. Listen to this story. In Genesis chapter 3, this is the story. After they ate of that fruit, God comes to hang out with them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replies, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Then God says, "Well, who told you you were naked?" The Lord God asked, "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat from?" You see, God already knew that they ate from that tree. There is nothing that we can do that God doesn't already know about. And see, Satan's plan was simple. He got Eve to question God's word. Did God really tell you you shouldn't eat from that tree? Satan has been working this plan for thousands of years with mankind. If he can get us to question God's word, if he can get us to question God's ways, his plan is done. Because then what happens is, when we do things we shouldn't do, when we do things we know are not within God's ways, isn't it funny how easily we begin to justify what we do? And we begin to say, well, you know what? The guilty feelings of what I did are now over. I can do this again. You know, it seems to be okay with God. But really, God is saying, listen, you're getting further and further away from me each time you do this. So the consequences of Adam and Eve's actions were that they had to leave the garden. They had to leave the garden, and I assume the beauty and everything in it was now tarnished because rebellion was brought into the world. Sin was brought into the world. Disease and destruction was brought into the world. And what was once a beautiful garden is now full of weeds and thistle. That's just how I picture it. But when you continue to read the story, God worked out a plan of redemption for Adam and Eve. He didn't just say, I'm done with you, that's it. He had a plan for them, but they just couldn't dwell in the garden anymore. So they went and they populated the earth. Now, from this point on, God would choose certain people who were willing and faithful to his voice to carry out his plan of redemption. For instance, God was so hurt by what he was seeing going on in the world. It was so, mankind got so dark and things got so chaotic, so immoral, that God said, you know what? It's getting crazy. And I am going to destroy everything that's taking place. I cannot take this. Mankind is not listening to me. But there was one man who listened to God's voice, and his name was Noah. And God said, Noah, you're faithful. You hear my voice. I want to use you in this plan of redemption that I have for mankind. But it is going to come. It's going to be followed with destruction. But here's what I want you to do, Noah. If you will begin to build this boat, this ark, this ship, and while you're doing it, if you will preach a message of repentance, when the rains come, I'm going to flood the earth and destroy everything in it. Those who listen to your voice can get on this boat, can get on this ark. They will be saved. I will call all the animals two by two into the ark when the rains start coming. But Noah, if you will follow this plan that I have, you will help bring redemption for mankind. Well, guess what? Noah was mocked. Noah was laughed at because it didn't rain for the entire time he was building this ark. For a year, I believe. The rain started coming. All the animals got into the boat. The only people who heeded Noah's warning were his wife, his three sons, and their wives. When the waters began to rise, people began to run to the boat, but it was too late. So they were on the boat. The earth was flooded for 40 days and 40 nights. Then when the waters receded, everything was destroyed. I don't think God found any happiness in this at all. But what happened was, he set a rainbow in the heavens as a promise to Noah, as a covenant and a promise that he would never destroy this earth again. I believe that's how hurt God was that he did this, because he had to look at everybody on the earth being destroyed. So he said, I'll never do this again, Noah. So Noah's three sons and their wives went in three different directions, and they repopulated the earth. All of the animals left the ark, repopulated the earth. You know, God has been calling people who will make themselves available to him to be a part of this plan of redemption since Adam and Eve. And this is what I call the supernatural breaking into the natural. It wasn't natural for a man like Noah to start building this ark and preaching a message of repentance when there was no rains. But it happened, and God had a plan. Well, we have another story of a man named Abram. Abram, who was later going to be called Abraham, he was a major player in God's plan, big player in God's plan. Well, he lived in a land of, it was called a land called Ur. And basically, it was the eastern edge of Iraq is where Abraham lived. He lived in a pagan society. People worshiped many different gods. And I believe there was something faithful in Abram's heart, that something he knew, that there was a God in heaven, somebody, a God higher than all these other gods that everybody was worshiping. God's voice was able to cut through everything, and Abram heard his voice. Listen to this. This is a crazy story, but listen to this. In Genesis chapter 12, we have this story where God called Abraham, or Abram. And here's how it goes. The Lord God said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed because of you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. You know, Abram was on the eastern edge of Iraq. He traveled up to the northern part of Syria, 700 miles approximately. Then he traveled another 700 down to the southern part of the land of Canaan, what we now know as Israel. And then he went over to Egypt, another 400 miles, and then back into the land of Canaan. Abram traveled about 2,000 miles total before he settled in the land of Canaan. I wonder if it was those words, if it was that word from God that he gave Abram. "I will bless you. I will curse those who speak contempt against you. I will guard you and protect you, Abram, if you follow my plan, if you listen to my voice, if you stay close to me." Later on, God changes his name to Abraham. Abraham is known as the father of faith. From Abraham came a son named Isaac, and from Isaac came a son named Jacob. And from Jacob, he had 12 sons. They were known to be the 12 tribes of Israel. The Israelites became God's chosen people. The land of Canaan, it later on becomes the nation of Israel. Those are God's chosen people. He sets them apart. There were many pagan nations in this land of Canaan. God says, "Listen, I have chosen you, Israel, to be my people. I will set you apart. I want you to worship me in specific ways. I want you to live life in a specific way, because I want these pagan nations to understand that you are my people and I am your God, God Almighty." And so Abraham becomes the father of faith because of this. Many nations are born from him because of this. Again, the supernatural breaks into the natural, and God's plan of redemption continues. And it continues on again through a man named Moses. I just want to touch on this one real quick, because this story is fascinating in all of its ways. So the Israelites, okay, they are raised up by God. They have specific ways to worship God, but then to become captive by the Egyptians. The Egyptians hold them captive and hold them as slaves for 400 years. Then a man named Moses comes along. God says, "Moses, I want you to be the one who will set my people free." Well, you know what's so crazy about all of this? Noah, Abraham, Moses, even Adam, none of these people were perfect. They all had major flaws. They all did bad things, but God used them nonetheless because they stayed close to him. They were faithful to him, and they were willing to carry out his plan. Moses, first of all, Moses killed an Egyptian, and there were witnesses, and he left. He left for 40 years. Then God says, "Go back. I want you to bring my people out of there." Moses had low self-esteem. He stuttered. He didn't feel he was worthy. And he tried to talk God out of this plan. God basically said, "Listen, there's no way out of this, bro. You're my man for the plan." And Moses, so here's the deal. I just used bro in a sermon. So Moses, here's the deal. If you haven't heard of the 10 plagues of Egypt, so God throws 10 plagues down on Egypt, one after the other. I always thought that it was God basically just flexing his muscle, you know, saying, "Listen, Egypt, These are my people. I want them set free. And here's how we're going to do this. But do you know what it really was? It was God defeating each one of the gods that Egypt worshiped. They worshiped false gods. They were demons that they worshiped. And the reason that the last plague was so harsh, the firstborn of all the Egyptian children were killed, was because the pharaohs, the kings of Egypt, they themselves believed that they were gods. And God Almighty was saying, "You're not gods. I am the one who has the strength and the ability to conquer everything that you are worshiping." And that is why the plagues were brought upon Egypt. God was defeating every one of the gods that they worship. So this, to me, is one of the greatest stories of the supernatural power and presence of God Almighty breaking into the world of the Egyptians and saying, "I have the power to conquer everything." Just like God Almighty has the power to conquer everything that is in our lives that we need help in. And then, last but not least, the most ultimate story of the supernatural breaking into natural is Jesus. Jesus comes upon the scene. He's born of a virgin. He reveals to mankind the love that God has for him when he walked the earth. His ministry was for 3 years. He did so many interesting things. He healed people of their diseases. He drove demons out of people. He took mankind's place for us. Mankind was headed on a path of destruction. Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to that cross, buried in a tomb. 3 days later, he raises from the dead. You know, from the very beginning, God has a plan for mankind. His ultimate will. What is God's will? God's will is that none should perish, but that we all come to know him. So I'm going to end it with this, church. Throughout all of history, God has been in a battle for us, for you. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus right now, he has been waging a war for you. Satan has been waging a war for you. And God has been saying, "Nope, I want this person. I want you to have a relationship with me." You know, this battle has been taking place since the beginning of time. Throughout all of history, God has not been concerned with man's perfection, but rather our willingness. And sometimes I think that that's what gets in the way of us coming to Jesus. We feel like we have to be the perfect person. Moses wasn't perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect. Noah certainly wasn't perfect. I wasn't perfect and am not perfect. God's not looking for perfection. He's just looking for people who will love him. And check this out. Here's the last verse I want to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's what it says. "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.'" Anybody who is a believer in Jesus can become a part of God's plan of redemption, because it is our duty and our role to say, "Listen, Jesus loves you. Come back to God. He has a plan for you. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing." Amen? So, Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that all throughout creation, you didn't just say, "Forget it, I'm done with mankind." You chose people to work out your plan of redemption for them. And I thank you for that, God. And I give you the praise for that, God. I thank you for calling me and everybody else who's listening. And I believe that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, there's a reason why you are listening today. So, Lord, we just pray all these things in your name. Amen. So I also want to close up with, I want to give you an opportunity to what we call salvation, to start a relationship with Jesus. That is the greatest experience of the supernatural breaking into our natural world. And I also kind of thought, was thinking, and I believe this was the Lord, was that there are people listening today that want to begin a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you fell away from Jesus and you're listening and you're like, man, you know, I got to get all this stuff cleaned up in my life. I need to stop doing this and stop doing that before I can come back to Jesus. That's not true. None of us can ever reach a point of perfection before we can come to Jesus. Jesus is not concerned about the perfect you. He's concerned about you. So I want to give this opportunity right now. Today is your day that the supernatural will break into the natural world. So all I'm going to ask you to do is pray this prayer with me. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you sense like, hey, I need something. I need something in my life. Or maybe you've had that relationship and for whatever reason, life got in the way, things happened, and you're like, today is the day I need to come back to Jesus. Today is your day. So let's pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for getting my attention. And I thank you, Jesus, for working your plan of redemption out with me. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, and I ask you to be a part of my life, and I thank you for that. From this day forward, will you help me be the person you created me to be? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So listen, if you prayed that prayer with me today, please let us know in the comment section. Give us a message on our Facebook page. We will mail you some information. We usually have packets that we give to people. We'll mail you some information about the church, about Jesus, anything you need. And even if you want some more prayer, let us know. We will pray for you. I will pray for you. So now is the time during our service where we would take our offering. And so I just want to encourage you, church. We're still operating. We don't know how long we'll be doing online church, but listen, this is a time for your tithes and your offerings to be given. So whatever means available, if you want to mail that into the church, if you want to go to vineyard05.com, if you want to do it through bill pay, whatever means works for you. I just want to pray for that offering right now. So Lord God, I thank you, Jesus, for all the money that is represented, that is given here to the church, the tithes and the offerings. All the businesses, the families, the individuals, God, that it represents. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would bless that you would bless the various methods, Lord God, and that you would bless and keep those, Lord God, standing strong in the midst of this virus, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the tithes. I thank you for the offerings. And also, I ask, Lord God, that you would help us at Vineyard Community Church use that money to the best of our ability to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for listening and being with us today. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Things are passed away. Your love has stayed the same. Your constant grace remains the cornerstone. Things that we thought were dead are breathing in life. Again, you cause your Son to shine on darkest nights. For all that we've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one I heart to adore. The hopeless have found their hope. The orphans now have a home. All that was lost has found its place in you. You lift our weary heads. You make us strong instead. You take these rags made us beautiful. All that we've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one I heart adore. A heart adore. are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Leave behind. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Christ.
Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before. For He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is. Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Your love. Cross. Bury your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. you all for joining us this morning. Let's everybody lift up our hands and let's close with a blessing.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Woo! Thank you guys. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next Sunday.